hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Hey guys, good evening and welcome to my house. Hope you guys are doing well this week and that you've been holding up okay in this whole lockdown. I know for some of you, life has changed pretty radically, and for some of you, life is still the same. Maybe you're still working, doing some of that essential stuff that we need done out there. And whatever that is for you, I just hope that you've been able to stay connected with God and using some of these online tools that we have available to us, that you've been able to stay connected with your friends and family as well. But at any rate, I'm excited to have you guys here for our evening gathering that we do each week with South City C3 Church. And if you're just tuning in for the first time tonight and you don't know who I am, my name is Josh Taylor. And tonight joining me is going to be my wonderful assistant, Elfie. And the reason that Elfie is going to be joining with us tonight is because they say that an elephant never forgets. But what they don't tell you is that you never forget an elephant. So Elfie, do you want to just go ahead and say hello to everyone? Great. So Elfie and I are so excited to share with you guys. But before we jump into the Word of God tonight, I want to just take a moment to bow our heads and to pray and ask God to visit us during this time. So Lord, we just come before you tonight. We ask you for an opening of our eyes and an opening of our ears, Lord, that we would be able to see what we could not see before and to hear the Word of God, and that it would go into our hearts in a deep way and produce great faith. Lord, I pray that tonight, as we are looking at the events leading up to the cross, Lord, and looking towards Easter Sunday next week, God, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to comprehend this important message that you had for your followers. And Lord, I just pray that the Word would go deep in our hearts tonight, and that it would bear much fruit. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. So I want to start out by asking you guys a question tonight. And that question is this: if you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, what are the sort of things that you would want to talk about with your close friends and family? No matter what it was, I'm guessing that you would probably want to talk about some things that are pretty important. You know, you're not going to want to talk about rugby games or the troubles that you've been having at work or the fact that pineapple actually is pretty good on pizza. No, you are going to want to talk about things that really matter. You're going to want to let the people around you know that you really care for them. And you know, if you're a parent, you'd probably want to give your kids some advice in this time, because if you're going to die tomorrow, you may not have another opportunity to share that advice with them. And you know, the end of life has a way of throwing into relief the things that are most important to us. And so as we look towards Easter next week, and as we look towards the events that were leading up to Jesus going to the cross, what we can probably assume is that the things that Jesus shared on the day before he died with his followers were probably pretty important things. And so this evening, what I want to look at with you guys is I want to explore one of the messages that Jesus shared on the night before he died with his closest friends, because I believe that that message is one of the most important keys for us as followers of Jesus to get a hold of and to live out. Now, this key will unlock your ability to love like Jesus loved and to see the world as Jesus sees the world. It will open you up to live a life that is truly vibrant, contagiously joyful, and abundantly fruitful. Without this key, we will never be able to love like God loves, and we'll never be able to be who God intended us to be. What is this key, you might ask? Well, this key is called abiding. So what is abiding? What does it mean to abide? Well, in the way that Jesus uses this word in the passage that we are going to look at tonight, to abide means to live inside a certain place or to remain in a certain state of being. It means that you live inside certain boundaries, or that you find shelter in a place, or that you remain in a certain attitude or keep a certain perspective. You know, one way that I abide in my life is that I abide in my abode. In other words, I live inside of my house, and my home is the abode in which I abide. And you know, many parts of my life, my laughter, my tears, my marriage, my meals, my friendships, all of those things, especially now more than at any other time in my life, can be found happening inside of my home. To abide means to live your life inside of something, or to remain connected with something. And the reason that abiding is so key for us to know this evening is that when we choose to abide in Jesus, well, then God is glorified and we are satisfied. And so let's take a look this evening at the book of John, chapter 15. And I'm going to have the words on screen, but if you want to follow along inside your Bible, you can as well. So if you look at verse 1, you'll see that it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." So, in this picture, Jesus is using the analogy of a grapevine. And this is something that his followers would be able to easily picture and easily identify with. And so there's four main parts of this picture that Jesus uses. There's the true vine, there's the vine dresser, there's the branches, and there's the fruit that those branches produce. So Jesus is the true vine. He is the source of all life and all things. In fact, the author of the book of Hebrews tells us that everything in the universe that breathes, beats, revolves, and moves does so by the words that Jesus speaks. In fact, even the atoms that make up our bodies are held together because Jesus commands them to. And so just as the branches of a grapevine get their nutrients and their ability to grow by being connected to the vine, so we, as the followers of God, are to get everything that we need to follow him by being connected to Jesus. The other part of this picture is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser is the Heavenly Father. And anyone who's ever grown grapes knows that grapevines will produce fruit if they have the right amount of sunshine and the right amount of water and the right nutrients. However, if you're a really good grape grower, kind of like the great grape growers of Greater Gisborne, which do exist, you will know that you will get far more grapes out of your grapevine if you prune and you cut the excess growth or the dead parts of the plant. And in the same way that a vine dresser will prune a grapevine in order to make it the most healthy that it can be, God, the Father, will prune his people by shaping their circumstances in such a way that it will cause their lives to be the most fruitful and the most abundant that they can be. And sometimes that even means having some things cut away that seem alive and seem good. And it's so important for us to know that God's pruning in our lives is not punishment. It's actually promotion. Because you see, God has an end goal that is always more abundance and more increase of his character and his life in our lives. Jesus also tells us that the branches in this picture are us, the people of God. And it's God's desire that these branches would then produce the fruit of his kingdom. And it's God's desire that we would abundantly produce the fruit that comes from being connected to Jesus. And so if Jesus is a man of hope, a man of love and joy and peace, Well, then by being connected with him, we become men and women of love, joy, hope, and peace. Let's keep reading. So if you look in verse 5, you'll see that it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. So you will be my disciples. The defining characteristic that separates who is Jesus' disciples and who is not Jesus' disciples is the presence of his fruit in their lives. When this fruit is present in his people's lives, God is glorified. And the fruit only comes from abiding in him. You can't work really hard to produce this kind of fruit. It can only come from a supernatural abiding in Jesus through the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And another way to look at abiding is described in the book of Galatians. In chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We are to walk in his Spirit. And it means that we are then living our lives in him and with him as we go. And the easiest way to walk in the Spirit and abide in Jesus is to simply talk to him. Because when you talk to him, it causes the eyes of your heart to turn towards him. You know, I remember a number of years back, I was learning how to ski downhill, and I was finding it a little bit challenging because, number one, I did not know how to steer, and number two, even worse, I didn't actually know how to slow down. So I made for some interesting moments out on the slopes. But I had an instructor that changed my entire skiing experience for me, and she did so by giving me a simple piece of advice. She said, Josh, all you have to do is look in the direction that you want to go, and your feet will follow, and you will turn and go that way. And you know, over the years, I have found that that is true in skiing, but it's also true in most areas of life. You know, wherever you are looking, that is where you will tend to go. And I'm not against entertainment and having fun, but I do want to say that if we are spending most of our free time watching people model worldly behavior on Netflix or on social media, well, then we can't really be surprised when our lives start producing some bitter tasting fruit that tastes like selfishness, envy, and pride. So if we turn our eyes to Jesus, if we abide in him like a branch that is connected to the true vine, well, then what does the fruit look like that we produce? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us the answer in the book of Galatians. In verse 22, he says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or you could call that patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So you will know that your life is connected to the vine when your life is producing love, joy, peace, and patience, when you are consistent in your faith, when you are gentle, and when you have self-control. These are not qualities that come naturally to us. They are a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit within us. And they can only come from one place. What is that one place? Yes, that's right, Elfie. Abiding. They can only come from abiding. So let's take a few moments to reflect. And in just a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions, which we're going to put up on screen. And I just want to invite you over the next few minutes with the people that you are watching this with, or if you're by yourself, just take some time to journal and answer these questions and have a think about it. So the questions I want to ask you is, at the end of this year, as you look back, what sort of fruit will you have wanted to be produced in your life? And the other question is this: are there any ways that you need to change what you are spending your time looking at in order to move closer to God? So go ahead, have a think about these two questions, have a chat with the people that are around you, or write down some thoughts, and we'll be back in just a moment. So one more key thing that Jesus mentioned in this passage is that he said, apart from him, we can do nothing. And what Jesus means by that is that without him, we can do nothing of eternal value. We can't do anything that is going to have significance beyond the scope of our life here on earth. And this is really important for us to get a hold of. So a couple of years ago, I was back home in Michigan, and my father-in-law, Doug, spontaneously asked me if I could help him with a bit of a project. So we were out and we were walking on their property, and my in-laws have about 48 hectares of some very hilly and very forested land. And running right through the middle of that property is this trail called the North Country Trail. And this North Country Trail, this walking track, it stretches about 7,400 kilometers end to end. And so what that means is some of these hikers that are really intense about doing the whole thing, well, they've got to have some places to camp and to stop off and sleep. And so what my in-laws decided to do was they decided to build this really nice little wooden hut along the track on their section of property so that people who are passing through that area could sleep on a bunk bed instead of, you know, in their tent. And it actually was pretty cool. And one of the fancy amenities that they also added to this hut is that there was a separate pit toilet nearby so that when nature called, you know, you could, instead of having to dig a hole in the ground, you could go take care of business in relative comfort. Now, I say relative because the problem with this pit toilet was that it was essentially just a wooden board that was sort of suspended over this hole in the ground, and it had this rough hole cut in the board that definitely was not big enough. And you know, it worked well, but because it was essentially just this board that had empty space between the board and the hole in the ground, what that meant is that occasionally the things that were meant to go, you know, down into the pit occasionally ended up on people's shoes. So needless to say, this toilet was in need of a serious upgrade. And so Doug and I were up at the hut and we had some materials laying around. And so we spontaneously decided to build an enclosed toilet that even had an actual toilet seat. And the hope was that by doing that, no one would ever ruin their shoes again. So, you know, we had, like I said, we had some materials, but one thing that we did not have up there was electricity. So we had some saws and some power tools in the truck with us, but because there was no power, we were unable to use those. And so we did have a handsaw laying around, so we decided to give it a go, you know, without the power tools. So we start sawing away, and we start just sawing at this wood, and Doug is going for it. And, you know, Doug gets to this one piece, and he just spends ages sawing away at this piece because it has to be this real specific shape. And so he's sawing, and finally he hands it to me panting. And I take this piece of wood that's cut to this perfect shape to fit into the spot that we needed to fit. And I go and I put it in place and I go to take the first swing of the hammer and the board slips out of my hand and just completely drops down into the pit. And so I looked down and I quickly realized that even if I could reach this board, there was no way that we wanted to use it anymore because of what it was now covered in. So Doug lets out a sigh, he grabs the handsaw, and he starts cutting another piece of wood. And so I'm feeling a bit sheepish, but I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for him to finish that up. And you know, it's just taking ages again to cut this board, because again, it just has to be this perfect fit for this spot that we have. And so after a while, Doug wipes the sweat from his brow and he hands me the piece of wood, and I take it and I line it up again. I'm trying to be a bit more careful this time, and I'm trying to get it squeezed into this spot, and I grab my nail and I'm just about to take the first swing, and wouldn't you know it, it slips out of my hand for a second time and goes straight down into the pit. And so at that point, we gave up. And you know, as far as I know, that toilet still has not been finished. And judging by the obscenities that I saw carved into the wood up there the last time I visited, I'm guessing that some people's shoes are still getting ruined. But why do I tell you guys that story? Well, I tell you that story because we had all of the power tools and all of the saws that we needed in the truck with us to make that a very quick and very easy job. But what we didn't have was a power source. And because we didn't have a power source, all of those fancy saws and tools were totally useless to us. You know, we ended up doing a whole lot of work that in the end didn't really end up producing any fruit besides a funny story. And we weren't connected to the power source. And you know, it's for the same reason that trying to be a faithful Christian without being connected to the power source never works. You will wear yourself out so fast trying to be loving, trying to be joyful, trying to be peaceful. But God is not asking you to try and become these things. What God is asking you to do is to abide in Him and watch as His life inside of you transforms you from the inside out. And by abiding in Him, you begin to produce the kind of love, the kind of joy, and the kind of peace that you could never produce on your own. And what that means for us is that when we abide in Him, God is glorified and we are satisfied. God wants His people to carry the character and the culture of heaven to earth. But it's not just to make us like Him just for the sake of it. You see, God knows that when we abide in Him, His goodness comes to live inside of us, and that goodness can satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. In verse 9 of John 15, it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." My friends, one of the benefits that we have to abiding in Christ is that His joy comes to dwell on the inside of us. And that joy can overflow and fill you in ways that nothing else can. His joy brings tremendous satisfaction. You know, the world's happiness is temporary and it comes and goes with our circumstances. But the joy of the Lord is a strength that we can possess even in the darkest of storms. And the fruit that comes from abiding in the vine is a fruit that brings satisfaction. You know, who doesn't want to have love? Who doesn't want to be a joyful person? Who doesn't want to possess peace that transcends all understanding? Who doesn't want to be more kind and more gentle to the people around us and the people that we love? You guys, when we abide in Him, we don't have to work for these things, but rather these fruits of the Spirit become natural byproducts of our closeness with Him. And so I want to give you guys an opportunity to discuss some more questions with the people around you or to write down some of your thoughts. And so in just a sec, I'll have this on screen. But what I want to ask you is, what does it look like for you to abide in Christ? What does it look like for you to abide in Christ? How about in your work life, at home, or in your relationships? Why don't you go ahead and just take a moment to have a chat about that with people around you or to scribble down some thoughts, and then we'll be back in just a moment. So when we abide in Him, God is glorified and we are satisfied. So let's abide in Him so that our joy can be full. I hope you guys have enjoyed our discussion this evening and that you had some good chats with the people around you, or you were able to write some good thoughts down. I did just want to give you a heads up that in just a little bit here, we are going to be having a Zoom meeting, which is going to be hosted at 7 p.m. And this is just going to be a time for us to connect with each other, to spend some time praying, and also to engage a little bit more with the material that we have talked about tonight. And so if you want to be a part of that and you haven't already signed up for that, go ahead and flick me an email, which my email address is joshua@c3chch.org, and I'd be happy to get you the details that you need to be a part of that. Also, starting tomorrow, I'm going to be putting out a daily devotional that is going to be centered around the story of the two disciples that encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And so if you're looking for just another fun way to engage with God during this lockdown period of time and you want to have these devotionals sent to you, if you're not already on the South City C3 list, then send me an email again to joshua@c3chch.org. And I'd be happy to include you in that devotional. But that's it for tonight. I hope you guys have a great week. And I so appreciate you coming over to my place tonight. And we'll catch you sometime soon. See you later.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.